We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
DJ Envy, Angela Yee, and Charlamagne Tha God.
Wake that ass up. The Breakfast Club is on
right now. I have to live live. I'm talking to the Breakfast Club this morning.
Okay.
I love coming here. I'm never not going to come here. You guys are good to me. In return, I'm always going to be good to you.
For a lot of people in the hip-hop generation, the Breakfast Club is where people get their information on the topics, on the artists, and everything like that. In that aspect, radio is still important.
The Breakfast Club.
When my name come up, respect it.
Yo.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne Tha God.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday.
Yes, it's Monday. Back to the work week.
I got some amazing headphones on right now. Yeah. They say they're 4D headphones. I can't tell you how amazing everything sounds in this room right now.
The more D's, the better.
You got 4Ds on your ears?
The more D's, the better.
And he got a D on his head right now, too.
Well, that's for Dreamville.
Yeah,
that's for Dreamville.
All right.
Earth King gave us this nice Dreamville merchandise. And, you know, Dreamville is a label established by a brother from North Carolina. So
okay.
I have no problem putting this on.
D's on your ears and D on your head. That's hey, how he man. Likes it. Start a Monday morning grind.
Whatever.
I'm just saying. You sound like you had a great weekend.
Whatever. You know what I mean? I can hear very well.
All right.
Yes. The D makes you hear better. I got 4Ds. I'm serious. These headphones are 4D. Right. Y'all laughing. I never heard of 4D headphones. I heard a 4K. What's that? 4K TV? That's what
yes.
it is? I never heard of 4D headphones, but whatever
especially
it is.
Especially for you.
Woo, this sounds incredible.
4Ds in your ear.
Keep now. Talking.
Yee, did you have a great week like him? It seemed like your weekend was amazing.
Listen, my weekend, as you know, was a lot. The juice bar got broken into on Friday, so I had to deal with that. But got everything back together again. Had to get a new glass, a new register, you know, do all kinds of things. So I basically spent Friday and Saturday handling all of those things, but we are good to go.
Well, maybe. Listen, man, you got to drop clues bombs for healthy burglars, right? Like...
They didn't steal no juices or no.
Yeah, he just took whatever was little.
It's just silly though, because
nothing.
No fruit. But we have everything on video. But it's crazy because we only keep $200 in the register. So it's not like.
Used to keep.
Well, yeah, not anymore now. But that's just a change. That's a lot of change for in the morning. So when people come in and they buy stuff, you know, there's some singles and fives. But now we just, you know, have it somewhere else.
You say only $200. That $200 changed somebody's life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I don't think it changed anybody's life. But the thing is, imagine doing all of that because it costs so much more money to replace the glass.
Yeah,
fortunately,
the register.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the register was. They didn't take the computer with the register, just the actual register, and then that was that.
There used to be a time they'd break in the liquor stores, chicken spots, check cash in place. Now I guess they stepped up.
Nah, whatever they can.
Holistic burglars.
Nah, whatever they
can. But shout out to everybody who showed so much support, though, over the weekend, because a lot of our customers were really disappointed. And apparently, there's been a lot of break-ins in Bed-Stuy, because once that happened, a lot of business owners, there was another store down the block from us. It's a pet grooming place, and they broke into that place the same morning, too. And then Tilly's, you know, the restaurant that I go to all the time that my friend Dahlia owns, they broke the glass, but they couldn't get all the way in to her restaurant through the next door.
Listen, America, people are starving.
Yes, they are.
People are hurting. They're still waiting for another stimulus check. Folks out here is hurting. Yes. So they will try to get you for $200 because guess what? They have zero. And when you have zero, $200 is a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, that's in everything. That's where if you go into the ATM, if you go into 7-Eleven, if you're stepping outside your car, don't leave anything in your car. Not a bag, not a nothing. Because, like he said, people are hungry.
People are starving,
they're starving. They need money. And at this point, if the government is not helping, they're going to do whatever they got to do to feed their family. So we just got to be extra careful. I tell it to my kids every day before they leave the house. I tell it to my wife before she leaves the house. Just be extra careful.
Blessed that everybody was safe and nobody got hurt.
Yeah, amen to that.
And they didn't even take a banana.
Nope.
No fruit was
missing.
That's
all you wanted, a banana. Like, you see what he said?
Man, shut up, man.
He said he got four D on his head. He got a D on his head.
All he asked about was a banana.
Yeah. No fruit was missing at all. No vegetables. They just went straight for the money.
If somebody stole a banana or an eggplant, we knew we'd know exactly where to go.
Why?
We know exactly where to go. All right. Well, let's get the show cracking. Front page news, what are we talking about, Yee?
Well, let's talk about Texas and give some updates there. Some people are seeing electricity bills for like $17,000.
That is crazy.
How?
They did a... Well, she'll explain when we come back. All right, it's the Breakfast Club.
This is a wild rule, man. I'm not even mad at it. You know what I'm saying? Dan, come here. Dan said, no. Dan going to walk in here just now talking about, yeah, we gay. And then I was like, that's what? The remix? He was like, people been saying that. I'm like, who is people? I never heard those balls till just now.
I never heard those
Jesus
balls.
Jesus Christ.
I thought it was, yeah, we pay. All right, but let's get some front page news. What is going on this morning? What we saw?
It's Monday.
Well, officials in Texas are investigating some people who have outrageous energy bills. One person said they got a $7,000 bill from his utility company. Another person said they had to pay $17,000, and there's nothing they could do about it because it came right out of his account. I guess he has direct payment set up. Now, the way this is happening is that, for instance, there's a one energy company called Gritty, and the way that they provide the energy, they charge a market rate. And that market rate varies depending on current power prices. Now, according to their website, customers pay exactly the price that they buy electricity at. But because of the winter storm, their pricing shot up. So in Texas, you can choose to pay for a fixed plan instead. And Gritty started to encourage people to do that. But unfortunately, I don't know what's going to happen. They are investigating. But
shouldn't the bill be cheaper? Because they didn't have power for days.
Some people still had power. These are people who had power.
Oh.
Yeah, it surged. They, like she said, did the wholesale price and then it surged. But $17,000?
Can you imagine for a couple of days?
I can't.
Now, a family of a boy who died during the Texas winter storm is suing ERCOT and Entergy for $100 million. That's their power company. And they're saying it was gross negligence. The home had been without power since the Sunday before, and their son died on Tuesday, Christian Pavone. And the family is saying that, obviously, you know, because of the power not being available, that's why their son died. He had hypothermia. He had on a shirt, a sweater, two pairs of pants, socks, two blankets. They tried to wake him up Tuesday afternoon. He was unresponsive, and they tried to call 911, but now they're suing.
That's horrible. Who's to blame for this? Is it the negligence of, you know, the city that they're in? Is it just, you know, a coincidence because of Mother Nature?
Because it's an act of God,
that's
right?
That's what I'm saying.
It is an act of God, but, I mean, I guess they're saying that people should be prepared, but you can't prepare for everything.
No.
You can't.
Well, I think Texas has a whole different, the way that their state operates, it's independent.
It's not sanctioned by the government.
So that's kind of what the problem is, and they had the opportunity to change the system, but they never did, and that's why all this is happening.
Texas isn't sanctioned by the government. What does that mean?
As far as power is concerned, like they have their own separate grid that's, if I'm right, it's not sanctioned by the government. So when it goes out, it's pretty much on Texas to get it back up and running, where every place else is sanctioned by the government, where they look at things and they winterize and They're saying that Texas is not on the same grid.
I didn't know that. Damn, somebody schooled me on that. I want more of that information.
Yeah, I think what they are, they have something called ERCOT. ERCOT. So if you want to check that out, then you can see what the whole situation is. They have a power grid that's run by ERCOT, and they said that's what set them up for failure in that state. Mm. All right. Well, that is your front page news.
All right. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, phone lines are wide open again. 800-585-1051. Let us know how your weekend was. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on
this. People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
Is he breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed. 800-585-1051. We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Hi, this is Bernadette.
Hey, Bernadette. Good morning. Get it off your chest.
Well, actually, I'm calling this morning. Oh, good morning, by the way.
Good morning. Good morning.
Today is my little brother's birthday, and I just want to say happy, happy birthday to Walter Brown Jr.
How old is Walter Brown Jr.?
Oh, he's my little brother, but he's 42.
Okay. Dropping the clues bombs for WBJ, big 42 this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Mama. Well, okay. Have a great day.
Appreciate you.
You too.
All right, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Hey, what's up? It's your boy Chaz out of Dallas, Texas.
What's up, Dallas, Texas, boy? The D. The big D.
First time caller, but long term listener. And I want to say, first of all, thank you individually for everything that you all do for the culture. Charlamagne, I thank you because a couple years ago, I had to drive Jessica out of the hospital to go get my son because he had a mental breakdown. And I drove from Texas to Mississippi with IVs in my arm, and I discovered your book. And it helped me, and it helped my son. So you saved my life, man.
Wow. That's Thank you, is, King. Man. Which book?
Your first one.
Black Privilege?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Wow. Appreciate that.
I recently just got this shook. I'm an audible guy. I move around a lot, so I really can't read. And I think my intake, I understand better whenever I listen. And I love the passion in your voice because you make me feel, you know, like you, you know. So, yeah, thank you for all of that.
All love, my brother. Salute to you and your son.
I've been listening lately, and I see that you all have some free counseling that you all been giving away.
Yeah, from Talkspace. You want some?
Man, I would love it.
Eddie, can we bless him with some Talkspace courtesy of RCA Records and our guy Toby?
Yes, sir.
We got you. 6 months of Talkspace for you. And share some of that with your son. It's done deal, my brother. What's your name?
My name is Troy.
Troy, we're going to put you on hold. We're going to get you blessed with that Talkspace courtesy of RCA Records and our guy Toby, okay?
Can I do one more thing? Can I plug my company right fast, man?
Of course.
I represent a company called Legal Shield, and we give 24-hour access to an attorney for anything that you could ever need. If you're driving and you're pulled over, you know, in the time that we're living in now, black men and black women, we're scared to even roll down the window. Well, with the service that I represent and offer to America, as the police officer is rolling up, is walking up to your car, you can pull out your phone and push a button, and you won't get a computer, but you will get a live attorney that can be there with you the whole step of the way. They cover any other thing that you ever need an attorney for, too. And I just believe that it's one of the most valuable things that a person can have on their phone for less than $25 a month.
That's an amazing idea. It just sucks that I'd be scared to reach for my phone while I'm in the presence of the police.
Hold on, brother. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Let's go. This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad
or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Mike, how are y'all doing?
Mike, what's up? Get it off your chest.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener. Like you said, you pointed to DJ and Kinsley, Charlamagne the God.
What up, Mike?
And, hey, Charlamagne, thanks for all the help with the good books, my brother. Envy, thank you for your credit, dude, and helping with the credit. Hit 725 by my first home in August.
Hey, I like that.
Yep, and Angela, always thanks for the good advice and helping out people in their couples. And, you know, I'm just feeling blessed as a truck driver out here. Being able to provide for my family and being able to spoil them as well.
Man, we appreciate you, King. Salute to all the truck drivers. Truck drivers be showing Breakfast Club love.
Bro. Absolutely, man.
And thank you for calling in. I know it's his first time calling. We appreciate you.
There you go. Blow the horn.
Hey,
there you go.
You know, Envy loves that.
That's right.
Envy,
that's right. You called Breakfast Club.
Right
you know you got to blow something.
Hello, who's this?
Hello, it's Jessica.
Hey, Jessica. Now, Jessica, it says you tried to shoot your shot at Dramas before?
Yes, so I shot myself at Dramas a couple of months ago, and I just wanted to tell y'all, have a praise report. That was the biggest blessing. Bye, Dramos. Hello to everyone in the room except for Dramos.
Wow. You know why? I'm going to tell you why.
Good morning, everyone but Dramos.
You must have called him when he was beardless. When he's beardless, he's gay.
It's true.
Now I told y'all that the beard, you know, attracted me to him, but I ain't even on, Dramos ain't even on my radar.
He's a shady. Tell me about the experience, ma'am. I want to hear all about this.
You enjoyed it too much.
You had a conversation with him?
Well, I shot my shot on air. You guys looked at my Instagram. You were like, oh, yeah, this might be the time where you fall in love with the listener, blah, blah, blah. And Dramas just straight up hung up on me. Like,
wow.
Whoa.
I got a girl.
That's not nice, Dramas.
You didn't say that.
You can still be polite, Dramas.
He didn't say that until after he hung up on me. Like, who could be that? Another person of color.
Wow.
I think my finger slipped. I didn't hung up.
Dramas is one of those Puerto Ricans who think they white.
No, that's not true.
He wipes, he
so now
white
your
on
finger
the
slipped. He always run that my finger slipped thing.
Well, I'm sorry for you, Jessica.
Exactly.
That's better out there
I
for you.
I just wanted to say good morning. I got a beautiful black king now.
Hey, that's right.
Hey.
That's right, baby. Chocolate deluxe, not no butter pecan Rican.
God will remove all those obstacles from your life. I'm sure this is way better for you.
You said God will remove all those testicles from your life. What'd you say?
Obstacles.
And I also want to shout out my Instagram. It's JESSBRI_.
Wait, how you got a man and you're shouting out your Instagram? That don't make no sense.
What? No, don't try to talk now, Dramos.
I'm just saying, why are you shouting? If you got a man, why are you shouting out
your Instagram? You're flustered right now. You're not making any sense.
Don't worry about you. You lost
them. I'm just saying.
Drum, you're flustered and not making any sense.
Can you let her shout out her Instagram? Why are you always hating on this woman?
I'm not hating. I'm just saying. It's a little weird.
Go ahead, Jessica. Just breathe. Go ahead.
Dramos, what did I ever do to you? Oh, my God.
You weren't a guy. He only cheats with guys.
Shut up, man.
Jessica.
But he's the one that was singing, yeah, 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 we gay.
Exactly. Exactly. See? I'm glad you know.
All right, Jessica. Well,
anyway,
thank you.
The reason I was shouting out my Instagram is because I want Angela to follow me. Oh, my God.
Okay, you know I got you, girl. What is it?
It's JESSBRI_.
Yeah.
I got you, Jess.
Thank you, Jessica. God, we appreciate you.
Thank you, guys. Bye to everyone except for Drama.
Get it off your chest.
He's not real bitter, by the way.
585-1051. Call us now. We got rumors on the way, Yee.
Oh, and she fly, too. You messed up, Dramos.
I got a girl. I didn't mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got no damn girl.
Much respect to his girl, though.
Puerto Rican.
But you can still still be polite. You can still be polite. Okay. All right. Let's talk about Adrienne Broner and Naomi Osaka wins over the weekend.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's time.
She's spilling the tea.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
All right. Well, there were reports that 42 Doug and Roddy Ricch had a video shoot in Atlanta, and reportedly there was gunfire. Three people were shot, according to WSB TV. Well, 42 Doug and Little Baby weren't live, and here's what they said.
Why did you say you got shot?
Man, they say all type of whole shit on me.
Hey, one thing about the internet, they give your ass a week at a time.
Yeah, man, y'all saw that fake man. We ain't been around no gun shooting, none of that.
I'm just glad he wasn't shot or nothing happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at first they were trying to say that 42 Doug was the one that got shot. He was in critical condition. But as you can see, he's fine from the video that they posted.
Mm-hmm. But they did say some people did get shot, though, right?
Yeah, three people.
They did say three people got shot. All right, now let's discuss a fight over the weekend. But this is a sanctioned fight. This was Adrienne Broner. He actually won this fight. And here's what he had to say afterwards.
How different will we see now going forward? Like now, are you going right back to training?
See, that's the thing. It is a different AB. What happened was, I only had $13 coming into this fight. We didn't flip that up to about $13 million. So, a lot of things go change. Listen, I ain't gonna lie. For the rest of the weekend, we're gonna pop bottles, cash checks, and have sex. But on Monday, it's back to kicking ass and hitting bags, though.
I'm glad AB
beat Giovanni Santiago with a unanimous decision.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm glad AB won his fight, even though mm-hmm. the judges' scores were way wider than the fight actually was. I'm glad he won, though. AB is highly entertaining. And if AB would have actually, if he starts letting his hands go more and throws more punches, he would have won that fight easily. But he's still a little gun shy for some reason in that ring. He doesn't throw as many punches as he used to.
Now let's talk about Naomi Osaka. She won the Australian Open. And in her victory speech, she was talking to Jennifer Brady. And here's what went down. They tried to say that this was trolling, but it was a mistake. Listen to this.
I want to do you like to be called Jenny or Jennifer?
Jenny.
Okay. Firstly, I want to congratulate Jennifer.
Dropping the clues bombs for Naomi Osaka. Look, she's the winner. Okay, when she's the winner, she can say and do what she wants. All right, I prefer Jennifer. Is that okay with you, Jenny? All right.
Well, Naomi Osaka took to social media and said, OMG, no, with some sad and crying face emojis. I promise you, my mind thought I called her Jenny in that moment, and I was so confused why the crowd was laughing. I'm so sorry.
That's funny.
Not as sorry as Jennifer was after losing.
Jenny.
Now, you know, GQ did a modern lovers issue, and Naomi Osaka is, of course, dating Corday. I guess formerly YBN Cordae, but just Cordae now. Mm-hmm. And he got candid about, you know, going through their relationship. He didn't know she was as famous as she was. And he said he attended the 2020 U.S. Open in support of her. And he said, it's not my sport. If you ask me about tennis before being immersed in it because of Naomi, I could only give you Venus and Serena Williams, you know, because they're just a part of the culture. He said he felt really out of place when he went to the 2019 U.S. Open to support her. He said, I don't know if I ever told Naomi this or not, but I felt really out of place. He said that was his first tennis match ever. And he said that that was my first time being in an environment like that in my entire life. My elementary school, middle school, high school was 99.9% black kids who look like me. It just felt really weird for me being in that space. That was my first tennis match ever.
Yeah, I don't watch tennis either, but there's certain people you'll stop and watch, right? Like when Venus and Serena used to be on TV, you'll stop and watch that. And I definitely ended up watching Naomi on Saturday night. It came on really late. I didn't know what the hell was going on. But I stopped and watched.
Tennis is actually a great game. I played tennis as a kid. I worked at the U.S. Open. Me and my wife play tennis now. It's great for cardio. It's a very fun game.
Yeah.
My kids play too.
I can see why you would like it. Men in short shorts, a lot of balls going around. I can totally see why Envy would enjoy that. He's even dressed like a tennis ball this morning.
Well, it sounds like you might take up the sport as well, Charlamagne.
You want to play later?
Huh? No. And by the way, anybody who says tennis players aren't athletes, they're a goddamn lie.
No, they athletes.
Oh, my gosh. That's a very athletic sport. You got to do a lot of cardio. You got to have that upper arm strength.
Yep.
And you got to keep your eye on the ball.
Mm-hmm. Now, Young Blue gifted Boosie Badass $100,000 in cash for being his first coach. So here's what it went like.
So is Young Blue Boosie artist?
Yeah.
Is he? I didn't think so.
Yeah. He told us he was Boosie's artist, so.
Oh, wow. Okay. We're dropping the clues bombs for Boosie Badass. Mm-hmm. Young Blue is a nice artist to have under your belt.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that is your rumor report.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Now we got front page news. What are we talking about?
Yes, and let's talk about a whole school board who had to resign. We'll tell you what happened.
All right. We'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Right. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get in some front page news. Where we starting, Yee?
Well, let's start with these new claims surrounding Malcolm X's assassination. Now, this is a letter that was written by a former NYPD officer on his deathbed. And according to Ray Wood, he said he was serving as an undercover officer on the day of Malcolm X's death. And he did say that he participated in actions that in hindsight were deplorable and detrimental to the advancement of my own people. According to his letter, he said it was my assignment to draw the two men into a felonious federal crime. That was the two men that were accused of assassinating Malcolm X. He said that he did that so they could be arrested by the FBI and kept away from managing Malcolm X's door security on February 21st. So what happened was Malcolm X didn't have his regular security detail. These two men were accused of planning to dynamite the Statue of Liberty and all kinds of other things. And they were accused of being terrorists. So because they were not available, that's how the FBI was able to get in and kill Malcolm X at Manhattan's Audubon Ballroom.
Yeah, it's always amazed me that the same government who took out every black leader and found a way to dismantle every black organization during that time somehow convinced the world it was the NOI who plotted against and assassinated Brother Malcolm. Like, just because...
Now, Ray Wood's cousin, who wrote the book, The Ray Wood Story, published earlier this month, described his cousin to Good Morning America as a good man that was tricked and forced to betray his own people.
He was a good man that was tricked and forced to betray his own people. And he felt guilt and remorse for that for 56 years.
Yeah, I guess they told him that they were going to pin all these crimes on him if he told. So he actually wrote that letter and gave his cousin permission to release that after he died.
Once again, it's always amazed me that the same government who took out every black leader and found a way to dismantle every black organization somehow convinced us it was the NOI who plotted against and assassinated Brother Malcolm. Just because you can get a person to flip on his own people doesn't mean you blame the whole organization. It's Judas in our midst at all times. Did Judas and the Black Messiah not teach us that? But once again, the same government, J. Edgar Hoover in his game, took out every black leader and found a way to dismantle every black organization, but somehow convinced us it was the NOI who plotted against and assassinated Brother Malcolm.
Yeah, three members of the NOI were convicted of his murder. So he said that if he didn't follow these orders, he would end up getting threatened with arrest by pinning marijuana and alcohol trafficking charges if he didn't follow through with assignments.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. This is what this situation was.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, an entire school board resigned after forgetting that their WebEx call was public. So they were having a whole conversation, not knowing that the recording was already going. And it was the Oakland Union Elementary School District's Board of Trustees. And they were bad-mouthing parents during this. It's a video. And one member said, "Are we alone?" And then this happened.
If you're going to call me out, I'm going to you up.
And they don't know what we right. do behind the scenes. And it's really unfortunate exactly. that they want to pick on us because right. they want their babysitters back.
What's the problem?
Yeah. Well, I guess it was, she said if somebody complains, bitch, I'm going to F you up. And then she's saying they just want their babysitters back. And they were saying all kinds of things for about 8 minutes. So all of them did end up resigning because the parents were actually listening during this virtual board meeting.
Teachers should be allowed to vent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't want their babysitters back. They want their kids to be able to learn. Ain't about being a babysitter.
I think it's...
I don't know if you want those people on the board that don't understand.
I think it's a combination of it all. I think it's a combination of it all.
What, babysitting?
I mean, come on now.
What?
You do want your kids back in school so they can learn.
I do.
But it is good to get them out the house, too.
For themselves as well.
Whatever. However you want to word it.
For themselves as well.
But yes. And who's looking out for the teachers at a time like this? We just told the story last week about how they were saying, you know, teachers should be vaccinated before they go back into the schools. And we agree, right? Because correct. The teachers are high risk. Right. Nobody cares about the teachers right now. Everybody's like, yo, get the kids back in school. But what about the teachers?
Well, you know, part of being on this school board, though, is that you are supposed to listen and understand and listen to both sides of things. So if you're on the board and you're already saying, I'm gonna F you up, if you try to call me out, I don't know if I feel confident in that person being on the board.
I bet you things could get done a lot faster and a lot smoother if they had real conversation. If that conversation those teachers were having amongst each other, they could actually have with the parents.
You don't want no teacher saying, I'm going to F you up, unless the parents say
it. Don't got to get to that.
They ain't got to go there.
But they can still be allowed to vent truthfully and honestly. They should be able to say how they really feel about things.
Except for the F-ing you up part.
Except for that. Mm-hmm. But guess what? We say that too. Like, boy, I'll F that teacher up if they do F such and such to my child.
And I know it's a big concern for a lot of parents whose students aren't in school right now. It's not the same as you guys have been saying, learning online. One parent said, I don't need a babysitter. I'm actually a stay-at-home mom. I do want my child back in school.
Yeah, it sucks. I feel so sorry for my oldest daughter because she's 12 and she had to spend half her sixth grade year on the Zoom. Now it's a mixture of both. This is Zoom for a couple hours and she got to go to school. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not right for them kids.
I can't sit on a Zoom for an hour. So imagine a kid staying on it a whole day to learn. It's almost impossible.
I saw this college professor get frustrated because he was talking to a kid. He didn't realize the kid was deaf. Yeah. And so he's thinking the kid's just being slow and not paying him no attention and not responding to him fast enough. So he got upset. It's just like, come on, man. This Zoom is difficult for everybody.
It is.
All right, well, that is your front page news.
All right. Thank you, Miss Yee.
Speaking of teachers.
Now, Yee, you have the story of the teacher that uses some heroin?
His name is Carl Hart. He's from Columbia University. He's a professor of psychology and neuroscience. Mm-hmm. And he chairs the psych department.
Okay.
And he has a fondness for heroin.
What do you mean?
He thinks we should legalize drugs. He said it helps him maintain a work-life balance, and it should be legal for everyone.
Well, even more than that, he put out a book called Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. And he says there aren't many things in life that he enjoys more than a few lines by the fireplace at the end of the day.
Oh, my goodness.
His words, verbatim. He said heroin leaves him refreshed and prepared to face another day.
Okay.
Now, he's already worked legally with drugs, including marijuana, cocaine, and heroin for more than 25 years. He's studied drug users, and he's been seeking to answer questions about the threats that drugs pose to mental and physical health. They said for most of that time, he wanted to prove that point that drugs are bad. Now he wants to be able to do them legally, and he said, you can too. He said, heroin is as recreational as alcohol use.
No, it's not. All right. By the way, I've never seen somebody talk about a drug binge so eloquently.
All right.
He was like, he did a little bit of heroin every day for 10 days straight. That's a binge.
All right.
Well, and then he even said he had withdrawals.
Let's open up the phone lines, all right? 800-585-1051. You can stay anonymous. Do you use hard drugs to balance out your work and life?
And we ain't talking about weed. We talking about weed. Heroin, coke, crack, cocaine, okay?
LSD.
Meth. Yeah.
Whatever else.
Any hard drug.
And you can stay anonymous. We won't judge you. We just want to hear your story and understand why.
I want to know if there's more people out there like Carl Hart that have, you know, that need this work-life balance.
Work-life balance. Do you use hard drugs? Call us up right now, 800-585-1051. And we don't want to hear from you weed heads. I know it's I smoke every day. No, we're not talking
That's
to you.
That's right.
We're not talking about you.
We've come to work high. We don't want to talk to y'all. We understand that one. We get the weed part.
Yeah, we get that part. But 800-585-1051. Let's have an adult conversation and you can stay anonymous. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Pull out your phone.
Call in right now. Call me. Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club topic.
Break it down.
800-585-1051.
The Breakfast Club.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning. If you just join us, we're talking about Dr. Carl Hart. Now, who is Dr. Carl Hart?
He's a Columbia University professor of psychology and neuroscience. He chairs the psych department at Columbia University, and he has a love, a fondness for heroin. Okay, he put out a book called Drug Use for Grown-Ups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. And he says there aren't many things in life that he enjoys more than a few lines by the fireplace at the end of the day. He said heroin leaves him refreshed and prepared to face another day.
I got
to
cut you off.
Only thing is that he does go through withdrawal when he stops taking in. And he said it's so bad that he actually crushes up some sedatives so that he can go to sleep while the worst of the pain sets in.
Yeah, you said that's the only thing bad about this?
No, I said, I mean, that's one bad for him. For him. All
right. Well, there's a lot
that's
of
what he has
line.
To go through.
I'm assuming nobody in this room does coke, crack, LSD, heroin.
No.
Like that?
I've never tried any
the
of those.
The hardest
things.
Drug I ever did was coke when it was mixed in a blunt with marijuana. I did it by accident back in the day. Greatest
yeah,
high
I do
ever.
Enjoy shrooms, and I have done ecstasy before.
I've never done none of that. Edible or two, but that's about as far as I go.
Just say no, but greatest high ever. Can totally see why people do it.
No, not at all. Hello, who's this?
Talking about the coke and the weed, by the way.
Yeah! What up, G?
Who is this?
What's up,
what's
man?
Up, King? What's your name?
What up, G? Just know this is Columbo. Call me Coffee B. No.
Okay.
Okay, so crack is your drug.
What you on now? Yeah.
I don't know about crack, man, but you know, I be on a little bit of blow. I wake up in the morning, drive 4 in the morning, I pick up COVID swabs and blood. So, you know, I be drunk as hell sometimes from the club. Gotta hit a line that wakes you up automatically, G.
Okay, so cocaine is what gives you your work-life balance.
Bro, because I be drunk as after the club. So when I'm drunk at the club, you take a line, you wake up, you're not drunk no more.
And what are you delivering? Like, what are you delivering?
He said COVID swabs.
Oh, my goodness.
How long have you been doing this?
3 years and only called off one day.
Wow. So what's the longest coke binge you've been on?
I ain't did that much. I'm little dog, man. I do like a gram the most a day.
What the hell is
you do a gram a day?
Not if I party, like I don't do it every day, but when I party, when you go party, you get drunk. Some reason when you get drunk and you take coke or you take a bean, it takes away your drunk. Like you're still sober again. So you go drive, you know, you can walk around, do whatever you got to do.
Okay.
Except, you know, leave your eyes big, but that's.
I wouldn't recommend this at home, and you should not be driving under the influence of anything, alcohol or cocaine, sir.
Yes, sir. Please, please be safe, sir. Hello, who's this?
Yo, this is Anonymous, man. It's Anonymous.
How are you, crackhead?
What is your drug of choice?
Meth.
Meth?
Is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Meth head.
How often do you use meth?
I feel like every other day.
So what is your regular life like? What's the balance? Because it's a work-life balance. What do you do for work?
Well, the meth wakes me up in the morning, and by the time I'm done with work, I'm already, like, all sobered up. It's time to go home.
Where do you work?
Oh, I don't
want to
see that, man.
You're anonymous.
He doesn't want to get fired.
I'm anonymous.
He doesn't want to say where he works, though.
Hypothetically, where do you work?
Hypothetically, I work for a taxi company.
A taxi? So you drive people around?
No, a packing company.
Oh, a packing company.
Oh, packing.
Got you.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like you're addicted, or have you ever tried to go to rehab or go without it?
I am going to honestly admit I am addicted.
Well, I think you
Does
need to go get help,
you?
My brother.
Yeah, does that concern you?
It doesn't look like they do it, so.
Oh,
you know,
Lord.
A lot of people are shocked. You know,
let me see your teeth.
You gonna see his teeth through the radio?
Let me see.
Well,
this
sir,
is sad,
I think you should try
you
to,
need
get
to go
help,
get
sir,
help, man.
This is not gonna end well, man.
Stuff that'll f- your teeth, or I'm sorry, mess up your teeth. You know, my teeth is perfect. I get it dental every 6 months.
I thought all meth messes up your teeth. All right, my brother. I don't know what to tell you. I do hope that, you know, you get the help that you deserve, because whether you know it or not, you are addicted to meth, sir.
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir. I know. I'm aware of it.
And see, but that's so crazy, because most people who
I
have
wish
an
you
addiction,
well. I do.
The first sign of addiction is denial
right?
So when a person tells you that they know they have a problem, where do you go from there?
Well, I hope people do wake up and try to get the help that they need, because, you know, these drugs don't enter anything good, so.
Yeah, I don't care what this guy says, you know, Carl Hart. There's no way you can continue to live that way.
800-585-1051. Are you a hard drug user? Do you need it to get your day going? Let's talk about it. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Call me.
Add your opinion to The Breakfast Club topic.
Come on.
800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, if you just joined us, we're talking about Dr. Carl Hart. I believe that's his name.
Yes, Carl Hart. Carl Hart is a university professor of psychology and neuroscience at Columbia University, and he has a fondness for heroin.
Right. So we're asking out there, is there anybody else out there that uses hard drugs to get by, to get through their day?
Because Carl says heroin helps with his work-life balance. He says it's just like alcohol, it's just like a vacation. I don't agree, but to each his own.
Hello, ma'am?
Yes.
What's your name?
Anonymous.
Okay, Anonymous. And what's your drug of choice?
I microdose on mushrooms every day.
What is microdose on mushrooms?
I take a piece of a mushroom every day, and it's called the penis plant.
Mm. Now, see, I don't know if that's... I mean, listen, I'm not no expert, but to me, shrooms are plant-based medicine. You know, doing a micro dose of it every day, I think even some doctors prescribe that in some cases. I don't know if that's the same as meth, cocaine, crack.
Hell no. No, it's not.
Well, how does it make you feel? How does it make you feel when you take it?
It's also not addictive.
Focus.
It keeps you focused.
It keeps me focused. I work from home, and it keeps me focused. I can put things in perspective.
Okay.
Keep me right.
All right.
How often throughout the day do you hear dun 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 dun?
You feel better. Do you ever? You said you do it. You said you do it every day. So what happens if you don't do it?
Dun 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 dun.
My thoughts be all over the place. Like, I can't keep, you know, I guess I got a little OCD or,
okay.
You know, I just can't stay focused. So,
you feel like little Mario.
I guess.
All right. Thank you, Mario.
You don't feel like big Mario.
Hello, who's this?
Paul from Brooklyn.
Paul from Brooklyn, man. What's your drug of choice, bro?
Heroin.
Heroin. Whoa. Wow. How long have you been using heroin, and how often do you use it?
Every day. Started after I got back from Afghanistan.
So, you was in the army.
Yeah,
brother, you need therapy, brother. You need therapy. You need to be sitting down with somebody trying to figure out what's going on with you, probably because you got trauma from the war, rightfully so. Drugs ain't the answer.
You're preaching to the choir, man. I completely agree. I actually had a doctor tell me one time that if people could use heroin without all the consequences, all the social and that come with.
Your phone breaking up, bro. You're going out.
You said you spoke to a doctor and he said that if people could use heroin without being judged, was that what you were saying, brother?
The social and economic consequences, like 90% of the population would do it.
Really?
Well, you know, heroin did used to be legal until 1924.
I've never seen any functioning heroin users. The heroin users I know are the people with the needles in their arms and they... You know, not even awake 90% of the time. Like, I don't even know how you can be a functioning heroin addict.
Well, I don't use
You know, the aspirin Bayer, it used to be called heroin until they changed the name.
Really?
But was it heroin in it?
Yeah. And they actually used to put it in cough medicine and everything.
Do you have a job, sir?
Yes, I do.
What do you work?
I own a garbage truck.
Do you want help, sir?
I've been in and out of treatment several times. What people fail to understand is that when you go through something, I know I need therapy, but it's about finances and time. But if you go through a traumatic experience like I've been through and then grow up the way I grew up, you know, I grew up in a rough city.
Yeah.
And so when you grow up that way and then you find something that allows you to have peace and be able to function, it's hard to let that thing go, you know? And you see it now with a lot of young people that's hooked on Percocets and stuff like, you know, they're not hooked on that stuff because they're partying. They're hooked on that stuff because
they're hurting on the inside.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, listen, absolutely. My brother, we're going to start like this. I'm going to give you 6 months free therapy courtesy of Talkspace. You know what I'm saying? RCA Records and Toby are providing that. And, you know, we're going to get your phone number, man, and see if we can, you know, get you on the right path to get away from them drugs and actually, you know, get some more holistic type of healing. Because them drugs ain't going to do it for you, brother.
I concur wholeheartedly, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, you hold on, brother.
Hold on, man. Get his information, Dan, absolutely, and make sure he gets the talk space and all that. All
right, that withdrawal process is no joke either.
I'm sure I could imagine. What's the moral of the story?
The moral of the story is we need Carl Hart on the goddamn show. Okay, Carl Hart actually reached out to our producer, Eddie. We just saw the email because when I saw the story, I told Eddie, I said, check and see if you got an email from Carl Hart since he has this book out, Drug Use for Grownups, Chasing Liberty in the Land of Fear. Because I really want to have a conversation with Carl. Because maybe I'm missing something here, but, you know, I just don't see how telling people that heroin use is okay recreationally is good for our society and our culture. I don't see how, but I'm open for the discussion.
All right, now we got rumors on the way, Yee.
Yes, and since we're talking about therapy, let's talk about Lakeith Stanfield. Now, you know, there were some issues with Charlamagne and Lakeith Stanfield, and he also talked about how he needed therapy after filming Judas and the Black Messiah.
He needs it. He definitely needs it. That brother needs some healing. We're going to send Lakeith some healing energy this morning.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Because I don't want to play no game. Hey. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
I didn't realize there were so many people doing so much hard drugs and just going on about their regular everyday life. Like people are really just out
That's
here
That's why there's an opioid crisis.
Yeah, but I'm mm-hmm. saying people are really just out here high amongst us.
Yeah, I mean, and it's scary because you don't know if these people are driving your kids to school every day. You don't know if they're teaching your kids. You don't know if they're in the hospitals giving you shots and taking care of you.
Carl Hart, professor.
And the problem Columbia is that University. A lot of people that right. are buying drugs off the street, they don't even know what's in them.
That is true, too.
Yeah, I like to go shop where my drugs are organic. I like going. I like organic drugs.
My goodness. And shout to the brothers of Earn Your Leisure, the Earn Your Leisure podcast.
Yes, indeed. Rashad and Troy.
I'm going to go. CZ and I are actually going to jump on their podcast later on today. They reached out. So love what they're doing. They just talk every aspect of financial freedom, not just real estate, not just stocks and bonds. Just try to give people options of what they can do to make money and to be entrepreneurs. So we're going to talk to him today about some real estate stuff that we
Two of the most necessary voices that we have in our culture. And they actually hit number one on the business charts, which is big because, you know, the business charts on Apple and podcasting are always dominated by white people. What's mm-hmm. that dude named? Ramsey? Dave Ramsey? Gordon Ramsey? I don't remember. Mm-hmm. One of the Ramseys. He's always number one. But Earn Your Leisure hit number one this weekend. So salute to Rashad and Troy, and make sure you check out the Earn Your Leisure podcast on the Black Effect iHeartRadio podcast network, available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Right.
And you know what I've been having fun with? I've been trading stocks on this app called Public, but I really like it because it's like a Twitter feed inside of it. So there's all these like financial experts and regular people just talking about what stocks they bought and why, and like all this great information and articles. Even this morning before I got on here, I was buying some stocks in the Real Real.
Okay.
But it's good, because if you're not really that good at it, you're trying to learn. It gives you like a lot of information, and then people are telling you what they're doing, and you can converse with other people about what they bought and why. And it's actually really fun.
That's why financial literacy is so important. Mm-hmm. That's why what Earn Your Leisure is doing is so important. Yep. Financial literacy is the key.
Love what they're doing. And don't forget, next hour, Bradley Beal will be joining us talking about a new app that he's doing. So we'll kick with Bradley Beal.
The highest scoring player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I think he still leads the league in scoring. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
We'll chop it up with him next hour. Now, we got rumors on the way.
Yes, Kim Kardashian has officially filed for divorce from Kanye West. We knew this was coming, so we'll tell you about it because, you know, there is a prenup.
All right, we'll get into that next. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip. The rumor report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the rumor report.
The Breakfast Club.
Well, Nick Cannon is back on the air. You know, he had a lot of controversy after some anti-Semitic comments, and he has since apologized. He also had lost his relationship with ViacomCBS, but they have also renewed his Nick Cannon's Wildin' Out and refreshed that situation. So it looks like everything is falling back into place. This all happened June 30th on that episode of his podcast, Cannon's Class. So now everything's coming back together for him.
No, dropping the clues bombs for Nick Cannon. Drop the goddamn bomb, Drum.
Computers just went
you
down.
You just be hating. Oh, you were just hating on Nick Cannon. Salute to my guy, Nick Cannon, man.
Yeah, shout out to Nick
Cannon.
Glad
to see Nick back in position. Yeah, salute me to Nick.
All right, and Kim Kardashian has filed for divorce from Kanye West. We all knew this was coming. You dropped a bomb for that?
Exactly. No, it wasn't Drum. We all knew you, Drum.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, right. You've been really acting funny all morning.
Word. Okay. You guys.
Don't want to salute the black man getting put back in position, but the black man that got a divorce, you drop a bomb for it.
I don't like this narrative that you guys are putting out.
It's the truth.
There's
no narrative. It's the truth.
Wow. Continue. All right, well, Kanye and Kim were married for almost 7 years, but they're saying the divorce is very amicable. There's a prenup. Neither party is contesting that prenup, and they're already pretty far along in reaching a property settlement agreement.
So listen, do the Kardashians email you directly when you report this kind of stuff, or is it you getting this from secondhand sources?
These are, of course, secondhand sources, but okay. You know. We know. I don't feel like Kanye's making any comments. Feels like this is all coming from
the Kardashian-Jenner
side.
Mm-hmm. And the reason we can say this with the utmost confidence, because we've all been in radio for a long time, mm-hmm. and we all remember the days when the Kardashians were feeding outlets like Media Takeout and everybody else. Because people forget mm-hmm. Kim broke amongst the blacks first. She broke with us. She was on King Magazine, mm-hmm. and she was all on Media Takeout before, you know, she got embraced by the mainstream. I guess. Whatever.
All right. Now, Lakeith Stanfield has revealed he went to therapy to help manage panic attacks that he had experienced while filming Judas and the Black Messiah. Of course, he portrays FBI informant William O'Neill in that movie. He said he found playing the role of bad guy so mentally and physically taxing that he actually ended up seeking help. He told Level in the scene where he had to poison Fred Hampton, he said a lot of it didn't end up making it to the final cut, but we shot me mixing it in Kool-Aid and I had to go through all those emotions. And so he said, with somebody like Daniel, who I just respect as a human and an artist as Fred Hampton, it felt like I was actually poisoning Chairman Fred Hampton. And so, if you recall, when Daniel Kaluuya was on The Breakfast Club, Charlamagne and Daniel were talking about Lakeith Stanfield, and this happened.
Did you find yourself looking at Lakeith differently after the way he played this role? Because he did it too well.
Yo, you look, you still got beef. You look, you still got beef, Charlamagne. Was it?
I never had an issue with him. I do feel like he was born to play this role, though.
Wow. We're not having that. Where it is, yeah, in this film, he makes the biggest sacrifice. Because in order to show you what Chairman Fred is, you have to show him what he isn't. You can't see the light without the dark.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And he served that. And he put himself in a light. That's not his politics at all. And it was really tough on him on certain days. I mean, he was really going through it.
By the way, my initial question wasn't meant to be shady at all. Like, I truly meant that. The same way you would ask an actor, was it hard to shake that character after you finished filming? For the co-stars, especially Daniel, who played the role of Fred Hampton, and Lakeith playing William O'Neill, who ultimately got Fred Hampton killed, did Daniel find himself looking that dude sideways?
Don't back down now, ye. Don't back down. Keep going, ye. What happened next?
Lakeith Stanfield. The second part was definitely shady, though.
That you felt like he was born to play this role?
Yes, that was a jab.
That's a little shady.
That definitely was a jab.
It was a warranted jab, though. Because I have a piece of advice for Lakeith, and it's simple. Don't dish it if you can't take it, King. The brother has a bad habit of throwing rocks and hiding his hands. But he also talked
about the mental trauma that he went through playing this role. So I'm sure that hit him differently.
We're not going to say that.
Let's read. So he posted that clip and he said, This is what hoes do. Get sunned by the reality. Get off me, bro. You are lame. Daniel ain't an idiot. Leave me be, dog, and find somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then he also posted a video of himself and he's like,
bang, bang. He's waving a gun
at a picture of me. Call it what it is. He's waving a gun at a picture of me. But once again, this is yet another example of Lakeith being able to dish it, but he can't take it. Because he's made comments about the Breakfast Club and other black outlets being anti-black, being negative, reinforcing negative stereotypes of black people. That was back in 2019. I gave him Donkey of the Day for that and pointed out all the times he's gone on these white people's platforms and reinforced negative stereotypes of black people himself. I left it alone after that. Lakeith did a whole reply video. He did a diss song. He put my face on the cover of the song and had me with the Sambo lips. Yep. I didn't respond to any of that. But I gave him a little jab during the interview with
Bang,
Daniel.
Bang! That's all I'm going to say is bang, bang.
I owed him that. And that was light.
I owed him that.
But what Lakeith does, he gets online and he plays the victim. He makes it seem like I'm always coming at him. But he does that all the time. When he made comments about Kamala's hair last year and got backlash, he got online and said he can say what he wants and nobody's going to force him into not saying what he wants. All good. But if you're going to have that energy of saying what you want, don't play victim when people say something back.
I'm scared.
I'm terrified.
No, I'm frightened.
I am terrified.
I see an individual that doesn't look like he's in the right mental space holding a weapon, a gun, and flashing it at
Was that a doll in front of him?
Forget the doll. He waved the gun in my picture.
You waved the gun at this man's face.
Listen, all joking aside, pray for that brother, Lakeith Stanfield. I want that brother to get the healing he deserves. He's clearly crying out for help, and he's been crying out for help for a long time. It's all fun and games, laughs and reposts until that brother hurts himself. So don't laugh with him. Pray for him. Laughing.
He did publicly say that he has to go through therapy after playing that role. So I'm sure he has a lot going on. So, Lakeith Stanfield, we are praying for your strength and help at this time.
What's that got to do with that gun, man?
Time out. That is true. But once again, he loves to dish it, but he can't take it. Stop posting and deleting. Stop acting like you're the victim. If you're going to say what you want, deal with the repercussions. That's all. That's all I got to say about it.
I'm
terrified of Lakeith. He's too tough for me. You're on TikTok waving a gun in my picture. I don't want no problems with Lakeith.
Well, that is your rumor report.
I'm scared. I'm nervous.
None whatsoever.
I'm nervous. All right. Stop it, man.
Nah, for real. Pray for that brother, man. Seriously.
All right, that's nice of you. All right. Now, who are you giving that donkey to?
We need Michael Abram to come to the front of the congregation. We'd like to have a word with him, please.
All right. We'll get into that next. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass. You get donkey of the day. Yeah, you dumb ass.
You are a donkey. It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm going to fatten all that shit around your eye.
Man. They want this man to throw them blows, man. They waiting for Charlamagne to tap these gloves. Let's go.
They had to make a judgment of who was going to be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. It's a Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day for Monday, February 22nd goes to Michael Abram. Who is Michael Abram? He is a professor at Oxnard College, and he has been placed on administrative leave for harshly criticizing a student. Now, let the record show, this story is exactly why Homer Simpson makes this noise. Yes. Okay. This story is exactly why Homer Simpson backed away slowly into the bushes. Okay. See, some of us just read rooms wrong. Some of us don't read the room at all. I would say Michael Abram didn't read the room at all, because if he did, he would know his students a little better. See, Michael Abram was chastising one of his students, badgering his student, because he thought his student wasn't listening to him. He thought his student was ignoring him. He thought this student wasn't paying attention. He thought this student wasn't listening. But that was not the case. Let's go to ABC 7 for the report, please.
Professor at Oxnard College is suspended under investigation after TikTok videos appear to show him yelling at a student with hearing loss.
Miss Salazar, I've been talking to you, Miss Salazar.
I can hear you a little bit.
You can hear me a little bit? Why didn't you answer all the times I spoke to you then? Have your counselor speak with me, because you've got too much distraction to even understand what's going on.
Yes, I do, because my translator is next to me explaining me everything that he's saying.
Okay. Just have them teach you. The whole class. Dang. That makes sense to me. I don't know. I don't understand it. But I see you laughing and smiling and giggling with somebody else.
At one point, a fellow student steps in to help.
Professor, she's actually hard of hearing, so her translator goes in a little bit late. She can't respond, like, right away.
She's not paying attention. She's not trying.
That professor, Michael Abram, who has tenure at the school, has been placed on administrative leave pending an investigation.
Want to get away?
Yeah. In case you don't understand, she's deaf. She can't hear you, Michael. Okay? This is worse than when you make a yo mama joke and the person tells you that their mom is dead. Mm-hmm. That ever happened to anybody in this room? Raise your hand if that's ever happened. Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy. Look at all these problematic individuals. Me, Envy, Dramos. My God. I don't think even Homer Simpson has done something this dumb. And Homer's been around for 30 years, and he's done a lot of dumb things. But what makes this even worse is even after the professor is told that the student has a translator and that the student is hard of hearing, he answers, she's not paying attention, she's not trying. This whole situation got me thinking, who really can't hear in this situation? Is it the student or the teacher? Because once the teacher heard that this student had a translator and was hard of hearing, the only thing that should have came after that was an apology. That's it. An apology and a whole lot of empathy. But no, that's not the way D-head momentum works. See, Dick Tracy head momentum is when a person can't stop themselves if they tried. Even when they know they are wrong, they just keep pushing. All right. In fact, they double down, triple down, press the gas, throw more fuel on the Dick Van Dyke head fire. And that's what keeps the D-head momentum going. And then eventually that D-head momentum causes whatever is propelling to crash and burn. Now, Michael Abram has been put on administrative leave. And if I was the board, I would act like I couldn't hear him when he tries to get reinstated. Excuse me? Say what? You want to come back where? Huh? We can't hear you, Michael. But I hope you hear this. Please let Remy Ma give Michael Abram the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw! Hee-haw! You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
That's just cruel and unusual punishment, bro. Mm-hmm. Especially after you find out what the issue is with this person and you keep pushing. Ugh.
You're not going to play a game?
You want to play a game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, let's play a game then. Let's play a game of Guess What Race It Is! Hand me some of that tissue. I'm hot over here. God damn, why so hot in the room? Hand me that tissue. Hand me the Kleenex. Hand me the Kleenex.
He's talking to you right there, the Kleenex.
Wow. It's right by you.
He's pointing to it, bro.
Anyway, Michael Abram, professor at Oxnard College in California, was on a Zoom, didn't realize his student was deaf. Guess what race it is, DJ Envy?
White.
Why you say white with such confidence?
I can just say I hear it all in his attitude, all of the way that he's talking and that he's speaking. Seems a little privileged, so I'm going with white.
Okay. Angela Yee, Michael Abram, professor at Oxnard College in California, was on a Zoom, didn't realize his student was deaf. Guess what race he is?
I'm going to say Caucasian also. It just feels like...
Wow. wow. What is it about it? Is it the arrogance?
Yes.
It feels like he needs some of that Coca-Cola training.
No, the Coca-Cola training was amazing. Is it the arrogance? Is it the defensiveness? Is it the ignorance? The fact he needed to be more humble? What was it that makes y'all say white with such confidence?
All of the above. Okay. A, B, C.
It's just like condescending. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, DJ Envy, Angela Yee, guess what? You're both correct.
Yes.
Michael Abram is Caucasian!
I knew it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey of the day. Now, when we come back, Bradley Beal will be joining us, all right? He has a new
Washington
app.
Wizards.
Yep.
He has a new app. Play in the league this year.
And we're going to be talking about this new app. It's Bradley Beal and Sean Gunn. So we're going to talk to them both when we come back. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got some special guests on the line this morning. We have Bradley Beal and Sean Gunn. Welcome, fellas.
Morning.
Thank you.
Now, y'all here today to talk to us about an initiative called Play. What is Play? Play with two L's.
Play is a platform we've created that allows for 1v1 wagering on video games. And we built some proprietary technology that makes it super seamless and easy for gamers to make money off of their skill levels. Part of that initiative is we wanted to open up the early investment opportunity to not just gamers, but people in the Latinx and African-American community to have access to a high-valued, high-potential tech company. And so we opened a crowdsourcing campaign that allows for that. Brad's early investor in the platform. He saw the vision over a year ago, and we're here today to talk about that.
So it's a betting organization?
Wagering. Monetization.
Wagering.
Okay. We like that better. Yeah, exactly.
Is that even legal? Can you do that, Brad?
I mean, if they're doing it.
Yeah. So as Brad knows, we spend a lot of money on a lot of lawyers. But the short story is, under the skill-based wagering laws in the U.S., federally, that is possible for players to wager on their own skill level as long as they're playing. So you can't bet on someone else's match that you're not participating in. But there is a small set of states that have taken their own position. So we don't operate in every state. There's a subset of about 10 states that we don't operate in. Most of the countries available to us.
So you could bet on yourself and really?
So you and I, Envy, you and I could play Call of Duty on our platform and wager $20. For instance, and at the end of the match, we escrow that funds, we'll unlock it. Our AI watches the match by using Twitch and YouTube and other platforms. And so we make it super easy for you to kind of play with fiat currency or real cash and win that money in within seconds.
Now, what's the most it can go? Because this is great, especially for kids. Well, I ain't gonna say for kids, but people that play
not kids.
NBA 2K or play football. Like, this is great. What's the highest you can go? Is there a limit? Is there a cap?
Yeah, so we put a self cap of about $500 per hand or per match, if you will, right? Over time, as we get more data, we'll lift that cap or have a high value kind of VIP section, if you will. You bring up a good point, though. I want to mention, you know, because of those skill-based wagering laws, you need to be 18 to participate. And so we have age verification, ID verification baked into the platform so we can kind of keep minors out.
Mr. Beal. Averaging 33.1 points a game this year. What made you want to get involved in play?
For one, because Sean's a black entrepreneur. That's first and foremost. And two, it was a promising concept that hasn't touched the face of the market yet. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, it's always big to be able to get ahead of something. So this is a startup essentially. And Sean, we met through a mutual friend, but basically when they gave me the pitch, I take a business like approach. So if you have a legit business plan, you know, how we can put the money in, who else is involved. But I even went a little bit further than that and just did a background on Sean, did a background on Christine, and just seen what they've done in the past. Sean's worked with Navtech, Nokia, you know, he's been there before. CK has worked with FanDuel. So she understands the wagering industry a little bit too. So you put them together, they have a good basis, a good foundation for an app or a startup. So for me, you know, I love video games like everybody else in the world, and I love to wager too. So I love casinos, I love betting. Granted, we can't bet on sport. I don't bet on sports, I leave that alone. But as a kid, you know, and as a young man growing up in the world, it's like, okay, what's something hip that's really cool that nobody else has, and you know, what can we bring to the market that everybody can feed off of? Like coronavirus just hit. This is picture perfect. All we were doing was sitting in the house, jacked up, playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now it's like, okay, how can we make that even more fun? Now you put your money where your mouth is. And the whole concept of everything is what really just ultimately lured me in. And honestly, it was a kind of a risk, big risk factor in everything, because it being an early startup, you know, there's, Envy, you're an investor yourself, so you understand, okay, there's a possibility it may fail, there's a possibility it may take off, but that was a risk I was willing to take in this opportunity.
I got a question, you know, with two questions, actually. One, what's the percentage that the app gets? Because they're actually paying, like you're playing on a lawyer, like the app is a lawyer, like they're holding the money in escrow and then releasing it. So what's the percentage that the app gets? And is there anything to, let's say Bradley's been playing NBA 2K for 10 years. Now, I'm a new kid, you know, you don't see face to face, and this new kid bets and has no idea. Is there tiers to what you can play and what you can't play?
Yeah. So a couple things on the percentage. We take a different approach. We think that users should win the entire pot. And so we created, won't get into the full details, but a play token. And you buy play tokens as your entry fee to the match. And so that way we keep the revenue pot clean. So when you and I bet $20 into that match, like other platforms you've seen across sports wagering, they'll take, you know, 10, 15% of that. We give you that entire pot. So that's a big advantage to the users. On the skill level, the AI we've created, the tech we've created, is ingesting or collecting how well you play certain games, and also how much you wager. What is your kind of wager habits, right? And so over time, you'll see us create skill tiers and pot tiers, if you will, so that, you know, Envy, you won't take all my money in, you know, NBA 2K because you play that all the time and you're a big whale in that sport, right? And so we have different verticals of those sports. So today we have NBA 2K, Madden Football, Call of Duty, Fortnite, and FIFA Soccer. And we'll release more and more games across the year.
All right, when we come back, we got more with Bradley Beal and Sean Gunn. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Bradley Beal and his partner, Sean Gunn. Charlamagne?
Some people would say, why even invest, Bradley? You got a guaranteed $127 million coming to you over the next few years. Why even invest? Just save your money.
Brad, he's a bird, by the way. I don't know if you know that. He's a bird. He's all in your pockets. He's a bird. But go ahead.
Hey, no, it's all good. My pops told me not to count another man, you know, count another man money. But for me, you know, everybody sees the 120, but they don't realize half of that's taken off
taxes.
The top.
Yep.
You know, half of that's taken. So what I said earlier, black people, we don't have that generational wealth. You know, my family damn sure didn't have it. Mm-mm. So I have an opportunity now to rack up on my contracts. Granted, I have to play at an extremely high level to do so. But that's an opportunity, okay, for me to take that money and apply it for life after basketball. I have two beautiful young boys, a wife, and now I have to think about them. Think about, okay, how can I make sure that my kids don't have to go to college,
mm-hmm,
or that their college is already paid for, you know? And so it's being able to create that foundation, that basis, and that discipline, because as athletes, black athletes, everybody says, oh, they don't know how to take care of their money. They spend it on dumb stuff. They don't know how to invest, bad investments, you know? So it's a learning experience. It's education. You know, for me, I just take the time. I get on Google. I educate myself. I'm going back to school this summer. You know, it's, you have to be able to do the dirty work. You got to be able to get your, you know, get your mind into it and be able to learn these things, because it will pass you up.
And
you
what
know,
are you,
your
what,
money.
What are you majoring in when you go back to college? I'm just curious.
Being in the business of basketball, being in this world where, you know, everything is about money and investing, I've learned that, okay, I have to get a business major. So I'll probably major in business administration, finish out at the University of Florida. But it's being able to create that foundation, that basis, and understanding I have an opportunity to be able to create so much money for not only myself but my family and impact a lot of lives around me too.
Yeah, I don't see you going back to college after this season. The way you carrying the Wizards on your back this season, you're gonna be tired. You ain't going back to school this summer. You need a vacation.
Take one class at a time. One at a time.
There you go.
How can you identify startup companies worth investing in during the early stages? Because you know, When you got a base salary of $28 million you're going to make this year. I know people come at you all the time.
How
do you know
Bradley,
what's worth?
These guys are bird.
There you go. There you go again. for me, it, like I said earlier, it's a risk. But granted, I understand I'm in a different position than a lot of other, you know, black people and people who may be considering investing. And but at the same time, you know, I put in what I think is a good amount that can help the group, but I also think I can make a solid return on. You know, so I'm not going to just come in and just, oh man, I'm falling in love with your idea. Here's $3 million. Like, I don't invest like that. Like, granted, I run it through a team. I study it. I look at, okay, what is your competition on the market? Is there anything else that's going to be created like this? You know, what is your future projections? Like, what do you look like as a company? Do you plan on selling down the road? Like, I ask a million questions before I get involved. And so, you know, when they give you your pitch deck, you know, you go through the deck, it's easy to just fall in love with something, but it has to be a gut feel. And for me, it was also something that I was interested in. You know, I don't just invest in something that I have absolutely no interest in, or, you know, just because somebody or Uncle Joe says, oh, this is the new hottest thing, you know, throw some money into this. You know, you can't operate like that. And I think that's where a lot of us, you know, as athletes and celebrities get our bad names and bad investments, because we don't necessarily educate ourselves, you know. Absolutely. Or the amount of money that we throw into it is too much, you know, or not the right amount to where, you know, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot on the back end.
Well, what sports games going to be included in play?
So today it's NBA 2K, Madden Football, FIFA Soccer, right? Those are some of the biggest video game sports-based titles on the planet. And then there's many more, right? There's racing games, right, that are taking up huge popularity, in particular in Europe as we move international. You know, we'll look at others, UFC, you know, boxing, all those things are at our capabilities. And we can spin up a new game with our technology within a week to 2 weeks. So it's really easy for us to kind of create that new opportunity.
Well, Mr. Bill, what team do you like to play with on NBA 2K1?
Oh, man. If it ain't number three with the Wizards, man, I am not playing that game.
So you okay?
I have to play. I have to use myself. I have to use myself. It feels weird using somebody else.
Oh, well, with the Brooklyn Nets or the Lakers?
Selfishly. I'm selfish. Have you guys any other NBA player, they're going to say, myself.
Have you ever traded yourself?
We dreamed about being on video games.
Have you ever traded yourself on the game? And if so, what team did you go to? What team did you put yourself on, Bradley? I think you would be a good fit on the Warriors on 2K1.
I think a lot of people would like that. Oh man, you're trying to get me hung up right here.
No, I mean, listen, man. I'm respecting the wishes. They told us not to ask about any potential NBA trade, so I'm gonna respect that. I'm just asking about video games.
But if you were playing a video game and had to trade
a video game, what would I do? It'll be open market. I don't know. We're going to the highest bidder at that point.
Okay.
If we're on a video game, we're going to the highest bidder.
Okay. Right. It seems like on paper the Wizards should have a squad, though. Like, what's the problem, you think? Why haven't the Wizards been successful so far this season?
Man, it's consistency. You know, being with any job you do, you know, you put the work in and you got to believe in your craft. And at the same time, you know, you got to practice good habits over and over and over again, you know, and we're doing that. COVID kind of hit us early on. So we had like seven of our players that had it. So we didn't have half of our team. Granted, there's no excuse in this league, but we just couldn't get our continuity and our consistency together. And granted, we just came off two good wins. So we're showing signs of it. And, you know, I think in order to be a good team, great team, you know, it's that consistency to do the same thing over and over again. Don't get bored with success.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy. It takes a lot to not make me happy. Granted, everybody wants to win, but winning in this league is hard, you know. And like, you know, the cliche saying, grass isn't always greener on the other side. But there are opportunities. You never know. So I just love to grind it out through adverse times. But granted, I understand that my career doesn't last forever. I understand my prime doesn't last forever. So I keep everything in mind in this short sight, for sure.
Do you want to stay?
Yeah. Yeah, but ultimately, I want to win.
Gotcha.
So, like I said before, I keep everything short-sighted. You know, I definitely, you know, understand the position we were in, the moves we made in the offseason. And, you know, you just keep every...
Washington Wizards just cut him off.
See that?
Damn, Sean. Who cut him off, Sean?
Washington Wizards.
I was asking too many NBA questions.
There you go. NBA
yeah. You were warned, Charlamagne.
Damn it, man.
We got cut off. Well, how do we get involved with play, Sean?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to just game and download the app, you can find us on the iOS store. You can go to our IG page. It's PLLAY.ME. And if you want to invest, we have a crowdfunding campaign. We think it's important for our folks in our community to get some access to those dollars. You can go to PLLAYME.com, and we'll walk you through the whole process with our partner, Micro Ventures.
Bradley, we were just saying goodbye. We figured the NBA cut you off. You told you was going too deep in it.
Yeah, I think they heard me. I think they had me tapped. They heard me tapped. Might be some tampering.
For Bradley Beal, Sean Gunn, we appreciate you, brothers, for checking in.
We appreciate it, brothers. Thank you.
Let me tell you right, something. Bro. You do not have $128 million Wi-Fi, Brad. That is a fact.
Hey, I'm done with you, dog. You don't let me live. It's too early for this.
Hey, y'all be cool, man.
Y'all
peace.
Be safe.
Thanks, guys.
Be blessed.
Hey, happy Monday.
Happy Monday morning, everybody.
How are y'all
we are
feeling?
The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Bobby Shmurda.
This is the Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On the Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, according to reports, Bobby Shmurda is supposed to be released tomorrow.
Hey.
So his mom, Leslie Pollard, told TMZ that once he's released from prison, he'll enjoy an intimate dinner with his family. And she said she is counting down the hours until her son is released. He's been locked up since 2014. And his conditional release was bumped up to February 23rd tomorrow. That's 10 months early. They also said he will be on parole until 2026.
I can't wait to see what, Bobby Shmurda, Roddy Rebel, the whole GS9 do now musically.
Yeah, they're saying that he came home this morning, that he was released this morning. So I don't know if that's true or not.
I saw a video he posted kind of alluding
on
to the fact
page,
that he
6 hours ago.
Yeah, that he might have been home. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Jay-Z and LVMH, which is Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy, are joining forces. And that is for champagne. They're taking a 50% stake in Armand de Brignac, which is Ace of Spades. And here is Jay-Z on CNBC.
Why Moet?
You know, they just was aligned in our thinking and thoughts and, you know, the way they care about products and creating products. You know, when we built Armand from the ground up, you know, we wanted to do things right. Integrity of it had to be right. So, you know, when we build luxury products, whether it be from Roc Nation to Monogram to whatever we're building luxury products. And Moet Hennessy goes about it the same way. So we were aligned in our thoughts of integrity and passion for the things that we build.
Dropping the clues bombs with Sir Carter from Brooklyn. Big business, big partnership. Hov owned 100% of Ace of Spades, sold 50% to one of the biggest, if not the biggest, champagne, wine, and spirit houses. So not only did he get a big bag, he still has 50% ownership. And that partnership with Moet Hennessy is going to make Ace of Spades even bigger and way more profitable.
Yeah, shout out to Hov.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, LVMH is the world's biggest producer of champagne. Yeah. So, yes.
That's a big, big deal. Sean Carter is one of my heroes. The man inspires me.
Absolutely.
A whole lot.
Absolutely.
All right. Now, DaBaby, people were having issues with his beatbox freestyle, and they didn't like him mentioning JoJo Siwa, but we're going to explain it. Listen to this.
Don't want to get me started again. Turn me up again. Don't see why we get a bitch. JoJo Siwa, bitch. Let the wrong get rich.
So people thought that he was calling her a bitch, and he posted, "My 3-year-old princess is your number one fan. I bought her every product you have out. She thinks she you. Don't let him trick you into thinking I'd ever have a problem with you. My wordplay just went over their heads." So it was just some wordplay with that.
Mm-hmm.
JoJo Siwa.
Okay.
And then they're saying his name is Jonathan JoJo, and then Siwa was Siwa. CY. I don't see why they so mad either.
Hey, listen,
all
man,
right.
I'm with it. They gonna start policing rappers for calling women bitches now?
Well, he didn't call her a bitch. He's playing.
I know he didn't, but I'm just saying. It's been a million times rappers have actually.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics, in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.